Good morning, and I greet all of you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please turn with me to Judges chapter 2, where we shall continue our study on the book of Judges. Will you walk with God? Delusion is a very, very terrible, terrible sin. The Bible tells us that in the last days, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that before the Lord returns, there will be many who will believe a lie to be true. And the word used there is the word delusion. God will send a strong delusion whereby many who call themselves Christians, thinking that they are walking right with God, but in reality, they are no nearer to heaven than they are to the top of Mount Everest as they remain at the bottom of the Dead Sea, the lowest part on planet Earth. But this is our world, isn't it? Recently, one of the American pastors who pastors one of the largest churches in the whole of America, his name is none other than Joel Osteen. Time and time again, he has been invited to go on television for an interview. And in this interview, recently, on October 4th, 2013, he is recorded or said to be the pastor of a 43,000-strong congregation, reaching tens of millions through his television program online. And he says that he is not sure who will go to heaven. He says that the mercy of God is very large. He says that I think a big test we all face in life on a regular basis is the discouragement test. Life's not always fair, but I believe if you keep doing the right thing, God will get you to where you are. He believes that if anyone were to do the right thing, God will get you to where you are. Whether Jesus Christ is the only Savior or Lord, and Lord, he quietly, subtly ignores. His message is a reflection of the world that we are living in, believing truly that he was walking right with God, still right now, that he will be in heaven. And he is, by his preaching to thousands every week, leading many more to heaven by his sweet, soft approach to Christianity, which is nothing more than positive thinking. He is the modern Norman Vincent Peale. That's how he is described by some of his conservative American pastors. Are you walking with God? Why did God let us remain on this earth? Why are you here on this earth? You and I are saved by the grace and mercies of God because we say so. We say that we have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. We say that we are the people of God. But the problem is, when people look at our lives, will they see Christ? Because that is the reason why God saved us and did not take us home. He deliberately allowed us to remain on this earth. And he gave us life. He gave us all that we need with the gift that he has promised us to every child of God. All of us have been given at least one gift to serve him. And the purpose is that we can encourage other Christians and at the same time to point to unbelievers that there is a Savior on this earth and his name is Jesus Christ. And you need to accept him as your Lord and as your Savior because of sin in your life. And if you do not and you die in your sin, you will end up in hell. And hell is a place of great torment and torture. And there is no way you can get out of it. Now this is the reason. Because that is what we have experienced when we accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. Because the gospel message that we accepted was that message, wasn't it? That someone came and shared with me the gospel, telling me that if I were to die in my sin, I will end up in hell. And then the fear of God was in my heart. And I don't want to go to hell. And I want my sins to be forgiven by God. And then the person shared with me the love of Jesus Christ. And how Jesus Christ came to die on the cross for my sins. And how a terrible death that he had to endure. And God accepted what he has done for me by raising him from the dead for my justification. If only I would accept Jesus Christ as my Lord, as my Savior, with all my heart, with all my soul, totally, unconditionally surrendering my life to him. And all of us did that. Now, this message has not changed. The message that pricked our hearts, convicted us, that pointed us to Christ, that allow us to embrace Jesus Christ by the grace and the mercies of God. It's the same message that the world needs. And that message is what you and I have been allowed by God to remain on earth after our salvation for us to do. And one day your service on this earth will be over. And he will take us home. Either the Lord returns first, or we die. We stop breathing. And then we will stand before God, and all our days of service will come to a swift conclusion. Whatever influence or lack of it that you can do on this earth is all gone forever for eternity. It's not going to come back. There is no second chance. You're not going to be resurrected and then live all over again like Lazarus. It's all over. Permanently for eternity. That's it. And so what you can do right now to influence your son, your daughter, influence them today. If you are grandparents, what you can do now to influence your children and your grandchildren before the Lord takes you home, do it today. But let it be an influence whereby we can answer this question this morning, will you walk with God? Let it be an affirmative, because if you are not walking with God, your influence will be purely negative. It is better for you, therefore, not to influence than to have a negative influence, isn't it? That is our desire. If one day FEBC turns rotten, turns bad, it is better for FEBC to shut her doors than to continue to exist and train evil, bad, wicked, traitorous pastors. Isn't it true? Like what many seminaries have become today. Israel was the only godly nation in the whole world. In the book of Judges, Israel was a very new nation. Israel entered into a second generation, assuming that Joshua and his fellow elders would be considered the first generation to conquer and to dwell in the land of promise. And what God expected of Israel is exactly what God expected of all of us, to be God's witness. That was it. Sure, Israel will be the nation where the Messiah will come one day. But in the meantime, Israel, you have another secondary purpose. And that purpose is to be a godly testimony and witness to the whole world. And how are you supposed to do that? All you need to do is to keep God's word. That's all. Keep God's word. And God's word has been given to you, preserved, protected by God for you. It is perfect, and you have them in your hands. And I've given to you teachers, the priests and the Levites, and I have placed them in 48 Levitical cities, spread them throughout the land and breadth of Israel, so that no corner of Israel will not be given the word of God. No corner of Israel will be omitted. That's how important the word of God was to Israel. Will you walk with God? First thing we need to bear in mind is our relationship to God's word. Failure to keep God's word will cause us to stop or to not walk with God. Plain and simple. Because walking with God is not a warm feeling in your heart. It is not a desire that you want to have in your soul. It is actually taking the word of God, opening it, reading it prayerfully, asking God to open your eyes to read it, study it, meditate upon it, understand it, and obey it. That's what it means by the word keep and do. And the Bible tells us that Israel did not. They did not walk with God because they turned away from the Word of God. They refused to keep the Word of God. That's what the Bible tells us in verse 22. That through them I may prove Israel whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein as their fathers did keep it or not. Israel did not. Verse 20. The Bible says, these people have transgressed my covenant which I commanded their fathers and have not hearkened unto my voice. Where is God's voice found today? It's not an audible voice from heaven like when God gave them the Ten Commandments. It is the very Word of God that you hold in your hand, that you have in your electronic gadgets. The Word of God. Don't treat it as if it is something that you can do without. That is our problem. We think that by coming to church, that is a good substitute for the Word of God. That is false reasoning. Reading and studying the Word of God is not an option. You can't walk with God by just simply wanting to, and that's it. Your zeal, your fervency, your sincerity is meaningless if it is not done truthfully, correctly, according to God's Word. Is sincerity and just simple fervency and zeal equals acceptability, pleasing in God's sight? Then we can throw away the Bible. Then we might as well throw away the gospel, because there are so many people out there who are far more sincere than we are. It has to be based upon truth. It has to be according to God's holy word. There is no plan B. There is no alternative. Walking with God means you have to walk according to Holy Scriptures, not your wishful thinking. That is our problem. All of us think that my relationship with my husband, with my spouse, is right. That is our problem. All of us think that the way that I bring up my children is right, even though we may all be contrary to each other. That is our problem. Because the problem in Judges is exactly what we see in our time. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. This was the beginning. Because when you replace the Word of God, when you chuck aside the Word of God, what else do we have left? Everyone will do what is right in their own eyes. I think I'm right in bringing up my children. I think I'm right if I go to work and I use my ambition and my desire for my big house and all these as my motive to work hard. I think I'm right. And so when the Word of God is preached to you, the Word of God is to be put aside. I think I'm right. Husband-wife relationship, I think I'm right. Both husbands and wives go to work, we think we are right. Look at our children. We provide them with all the clothing, all the things that they need. We have good tuitions. We have good maids to look after their physical needs. I think I'm right. How we keep the Lord's Day holy, I think I'm right. That was the problem. This is the beginning of the period of Judges. Please do not think that the period of Judges is something that describes only Israel in the past. That it is not a description of us today. It is more a description of us today than of Israel. Where every one of us just go through our life week after week, day after day of every week, doing what is right in our own eyes. Have you ever checked and examined according to Holy Scriptures? What your duties are as an employer, as an employee? What your duties are as a husband, as a wife? What your duties are as a father and a mother to your grandchildren, to your children? Sunday school teachers? Everyone who serves in any capacity, the period of Judges is upon us if we dare to ignore the Word of God. The reaction of God as revealed to us in verse 20 was, the anger of the Lord was hot. God was very angry, not against the Canaanites. It was not the fault of the Philistines, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hittites that are mentioned in verse 5 of chapter 3. It's not their fault. It was Israel. God was not angry with the Canaanites. God was angry with His own people. Because they dare to call themselves Israel. They have entered into a covenant with God. They themselves said so in Exodus 20. And their forefathers earlier also said so. They have entered into a covenant with God because they call themselves children of God. Then show it by your life. Let the whole world see God by all of you, my children, God said to Israel. But Israel refused. And that's why God was angry. Not just angry, the Bible said God was angry and hot against Israel, not against the Canaanites. Sure, the Canaanites were terrible sinners. But the problem was the light, not the sin of the sinners. The light that did not shine from people who dare to say that we are the people of God. And their sin, therefore, would be far worse than the sins of the Canaanites, because these are the sins of God's people. If you don't call yourself Christians, fine, then don't live the life of a Christian. God will not be angry with you according to this context, because you never brought shame to His name. You never present to the world a distortion of Christ. Israel did. And so God was very angry with Israel. And God is angry with all of us if we commit the same sin as Israel, calling ourselves Christians, just as Israel did. And then we look at His word, and we did not, we transgress His covenant, the covenant that God made with Israel, the covenant that we say we have made with Christ when we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior. We transgress, we cross the line. That's the meaning of the word. We have broken the covenant. We say that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. That means He is my Lord. That means I have to listen to His voice. I've got to do what He tells me. He is my master. I am His slave now. That's exactly what salvation brings. Previously, our master was sin, according to Romans 6. But now our new master is God Almighty, whereby righteousness must characterize our lives. Righteousness, that means everything that is right. Our thinking is right. Our heart is right. Our life is right. That is the covenant. And if you and I do not live a righteous, holy life, we have transgressed the covenant that we made with Christ. We made with God. And God says, you have not hearkened to my voice. Plain and simple. In what way have we transgressed the covenant? We did not obey His word. We did not obey His word. Please don't plead ignorance. Not studying God's word. And because I did not study God's word, I do not know. That will not stand. You are expected to know. You have the word of God in your hands. And if you keep on staying away from Bible study, from many of the fellowship groups that are designed specifically for your spiritual well-being, you can't hide behind the mask of ignorance and say, well, God, I did not know. I'm just doing it out of sincerity, and that's all that is needed. God is angry with you. And you can forget about your prayers being heard by God. And God has every right to punish us and to terminate our life on this earth. Do you know that? He has every right to do so. He has every right to erase Israel and take Israel out of the promised land. He had every right to do so immediately. But He did not. He did not do so to Israel. He allowed Israel to remain in the promised land in the meantime. But then He said these words to Israel: I also will not henceforth drive out from among before thee of all the nations which Joshua left when he died. So the Philistines, the Hivites, all that will remain. God could have easily removed them, but God says, no, I must allow them to remain, that through them I may prove and test Israel continuously, because Israel is a rebellious people. I want them to experience whether they will obey or keep God, the word, the way of the Lord, to walk therein as their fathers did, keep it or not. Will they? Abraham passed, Isaac passed, Jacob passed, Moses passed, Joshua passed. Will Israel pass the test? That is a test that every generation, as long as you are saved, you are led by God to remain on this earth, the test begins. From the time you are born again to the time you die, the test begins. And God will allow trials and difficulties to come your way to test us. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered He them into the hand of Joshua. God could have, as what verse 23 tells us, easily allowed Joshua to defeat every single one of them. But God deliberately allowed the various tribes, after the division of the lot, the land to them by lot, that you, each and every one of you, have this final little mopping up responsibility to remove all the residual enemies of Canaan. But they did not. And when they did not, God just simply told them, now you cannot. And these enemies will remain to test whether you will continue to obey God's word. God allow us to remain on this earth. Will you walk with God? Don't forget God's word. That is the first step. If you have already forgotten God's word, you have already failed. You are not walking with God. And if you are not walking with God and you still call yourself a Christian, please check your salvation, number one. No joke. Check your salvation whether you are truly born again. You know how many young parents who pray so hard when they were single and they were so devoted, and then they pray for a child after they got married, and then when the child comes, the child, instead of a blessing, has become a curse. They stop serving, they just withdrew into a little shell of their own. And then their life with the Lord has become so sporadic. And now they come for worship, they serve God according to their own heart's desire, no longer according to God's desire. And the blessing literally has become a curse. And they are now farther away from God. Their service has stopped. What has happened? What has happened? You did not study God's word, you did not obey God's word, and you still think that your life and your soul is well with God. You are not well in your soul. And that is the worst kind of sickness, to be sick and not be aware of it, because you will not seek a physician. Check your life before it spins out of control, because every day you stray away from the Lord is a day gone for eternity. And it will become easier for you to stray further and further and further away if you don't stop it immediately. Cry to the Lord and repent of your sin and come back to the Lord. No other way. And ask the Lord to plant in your heart a love for Him and a love for His word. And then you will put the study of God's word together at home. Attend fellowship, the AF. Now we have started the AF, the new AF plus the senior AF, so that no one is excused. All these fellowship groups will meet your age with your trials and difficulties and struggles. And you keep on staying away, you keep on bearing a bad witness for Christ, God is angry with you. Verse 20, the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and therefore we have to say the same, the anger of the Lord is hot against you. And if you are not consumed, if you are not immediately punished by Him, it's not because God is blind and God did not see your sin. It's because God is patient. God is long-suffering. How long more? How long more will my children remain in sin and not stop sinning? That is God's challenge and God's cry to all of us. How long more will they not walk with me before I unleash my anger? The second, don't ever forget the sovereignty of God as you walk with Him. Verse 1 to verse 4 of chapter 3. Now these are the nations which the Lord left. They did not kill all of them. But then the Bible made it very clear, the Lord left them behind. The sovereignty of God is so important in the lives of all of God's children. The moment you forget the sovereignty of God, you will say things that you're going to regret. You're going to do things that you're going to hurt yourself and you're going to harm others. The sovereignty of God. Do you know what is the sovereignty of God? God is not only in control of the lives of every Christian. The sovereignty of God teaches us that God is in control of the lives of every enemy of God. Every enemy of God's people. Every wind, every drop of rain, every beam of sunlight, everything is in the control of our Heavenly Father. That is the sovereignty of God. And because God is all-powerful, you and I can never get out of God's will. And God has given to us the obedient will, that is called His desired will for all His children to walk right with Him. But if you choose to do otherwise, you just got yourself out of the desired will of God into His punitive will. And the punitive will of God simply means that you continue to walk and walk with the punishment of God hanging over your head at any time. The punishment of God can fall upon you. That is the punitive will of God. And that was the pathway that Israel, after Joshua's time, had chosen to tread. Don't go that direction. Don't walk along the punitive will of God. God is sovereign. Don't ever forget that. Come back to the Lord. Come back to the straight and narrow path. And so God said, I will leave them behind to test Israel by them, even as many of Israel as had not known all the wars of Canaan. That means for the rest of the future generations as well. Not only this generation who fought in their younger days with Joshua and the elders, because now these younger generations have become the elders. And they are the ones who strayed away from the Lord. They are the ones who disobey the commandment of the Lord and transgress. And for their sin, the Canaanites will remain in the land. And God said the Canaanites will also remain after they are dead and gone. And then succeeding generations will also have to experience what they are experiencing right now. Only that the generation of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least such as before knew nothing thereof, so that they will learn and experience spiritual battles. Namely, the five lords of the Philistines and all the Canaanites and the Sidonians and the Hivites that dwelt in Mount Lebanon all the way up north, and Mount Baal Hamon all the way up north as well, unto the entering of Hamath, the northern kingdom. These are the foreign kingdoms that were not part of the promised land, that God did not ask them to wipe out the Syrians and those who were way up north. And they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. In other words, God will never leave us. God will never wash his hands off Israel. No matter how Israel will sin. Yes, God will cane. God will severely punish according to the sin that Israel will commit. But God will continue to discipline and discipline and discipline and discipline Israel. Do you want God to do that to us? I pray not. Why would we want to be disobedient children? Because we as parents, we know what the heart of a parent is, isn't it? As parents. You and I do not want disobedient children. As parents, sane parents, right? We are not crazy. We want children to obey. We want children to grow up to be good children, to honor parents, to obey the law. Don't you? You want this from your children? You want your children to be rebellious, evil, wicked, whereby they will do horrendous criminal acts? You want that of your children? You never want that of your children because you love them. How do you think God feels? It's exactly how you and I feel as parents when our children turn out to be evil murderers. How do you think God feels? You and I as parents will have a taste of what's it like when you see your own son and your daughter wasting their lives away doing evil after evil after evil. Isn't it true? God wants the best for all of us. And because of our sin, because of Israel's sin, God will leave behind certain evil people in your life and in my life to continue to prove us, to test us, to prove us, to test us. So that you and I may experience what's it like. So that we know what fighting God's battle is like. Every generation will have battles to fight. This generation, as young people observe how the older generation fought their battles, learn well. Because one day, if the Lord tarries, the older generations will leave this world. And you young people will take over and you will become the older generation to the Sunday school children today. And then they're going to look at you. They're going to observe and see how you will fight God's battle. And it's not going to end until the Lord returns, because as long as Satan and his demons are on this earth, as long as there are wicked human beings who will follow Satan and his evil work, as long as there are people like Joel Osteen and many of these charismatic pastors and preachers and new evangelicals, and they're not going to just simply disappear and die off. The battle rages on, and what is at stake will be the souls of men, women, and children, whether they will end up in hell or end up in heaven. That is what is at stake. Young parents with young children, learn from the mistakes of the older parents with older children. Because many of these older children, you look at the prayer list, they put their names down. How many of our older children now who are working out there, they are praying and begging God for mercy so that they will stop sinning and return back unto the Lord. You get a list and you look for yourself. We know who they are. We know them. They were your age. They were young teens once upon a time. But somewhere along the line, they become lovers of the world. And parents cannot do anything other than now to beg God for mercy. That they will stop sinning, that they will stop ruining their lives and loving the world. Because time is running out. The Lord is returning so soon. And whether these sons and daughters, whether they are truly born again or not, remains to be seen. The parents hope that they are. That's why they don't put down them under salvation. They put down them under wayward. Pray for them. They have strayed away from the Lord, assuming that they are born again. But is that assumption right? It's a wishful hope. Because they will be asked, pray for my son, my daughter. They will be asked, should we put them in the section under salvation or under waywardness? Once upon a time, they used to be very fervent. They seemed to have some fruit of the Spirit. They seemed to have a love for Christ. But somehow today it has grown so cold. And the parents, in your own heart of hearts, can you really, really say that you are guiltless? That you have done your utmost to point them to the Lord, but despite all the efforts to point them to the Lord, they have strayed away? Because if all you have been emphasizing when they are growing up as young children, tuition, 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 your studies, going to university is paramount, it's everything. Reading the Bible, living a holy life is secondary, if not third. And then now they've grown up. To shape them and to mold them, and you want them to be like Christ, now it's too late. Because you have been shaping them and molding them to be like the world. And all they have now, when you look at their life, look at their dressing, look at their thinking, listen to their words and reading their writings, it is so worldly and so carnal, nothing spiritual about it. What has happened? What has happened is that your life and my life have consequences. That's what happened. And when your life and my life is holy, the consequences will bring forth holiness. But when your life and my life is carnal, is worldliness, it will bring forth worldly carnal fruits. You can't expect holiness to bring forth carnal fruit, neither can you expect carnal behavior to bring forth holy fruits. It's impossible. Apple tree will bring forth apple fruit. If the bottom of the well is sweet, fresh water, when you draw it up, it will still be sweet, fresh water. But if the bottom of the well is bitter water, when you bring it up, it will not be sweet water. It will be bitter. You and I cannot ask God to bless our children with salvation, grace, and mercy when in our own life, the way that we drive our children is toward the world, and at the same time, we want them to go to heaven when we are pushing them in the direction of the world. It does not work that way. And all we care about is their material, physical well-being, forgetting the most important of all, their spiritual well-being, which is eternity. When you think of their material well-being, it is only temporal. It's only good for 70 years and 10. And that's it. 70 years and 10, and that's it. Why are we so short-sighted? Israel was short-sighted. Israel cared only for the physical and the carnal. Israel cared only for the land, their property and their homes and their cities. That's all they cared about. They have forgotten their spiritual duties and responsibilities in their lives. And so God had to allow these thorns to remain on their side so that they will stop sinning, so that they will come back to the Lord. Are you experiencing some thorns in your life? Because God wants you to come back to Him. Just as God wanted Israel to come back to Him. What was the sin of Israel? Look at verse 5. The children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives. How did that happen? Parents, isn't it? Parents allow their sons to marry the daughters of the Canaanites. It has to be the parents. It has to be the fault of the teachers. That means the priests and the Levites. They will be the one to carry the brunt of the blame, because they have the Word of God. They are supposed to be the teachers of the Word of God. And so when you and I read things like, they took their daughters to be their wives, who initiated it? The parents. The parents were the culprit. And then they gave their daughters to their sons. And when that happens, they begin to serve their gods. That is the natural course of action. When you marry an unbeliever, now what? Why did God do this? Out of so many sins that God could simply mention, God mentioned this sin. This sin is the sin that will result in all the rest. First thing, you can forget about the dietary laws. They will eat all kinds of food because they cannot seal and close a marriage without eating a feast. And the Canaanites will have all kinds of unclean food, swine meat. They will eat swine meat. They will break all the laws. They won't care about biblical separation. All they care about is unite using marriage to bond and to befriend our enemies. Marriage covenant. It is a very serious transgression. Do not think that marrying the wrong person is a small matter. You marry somebody of a different faith, marry somebody of a different denomination, even though they call themselves Christians, is also a transgression. Do not treat this lightly, because very soon you marry the person who believes in a different God than you are. You're in serious trouble. You marry a charismatic who speaks in tongues, you are in serious trouble. And don't say it's a small matter. Try to counsel my niece. Don't marry a Roman Catholic. You marry a Roman Catholic, your salvation is questioned. Brought up in the church. Went to Sunday school. Served the Lord. And then marry a Roman Catholic. Inside the Roman Catholic Church. And now attending the Roman Catholic Church with the husband. Her salvation is now a big, gigantic question mark. And the parents gave her the permission. Also supposed to be Christians. Parents, same. Allow their children to marry the daughters of the Canaanites and then gave their daughters to the sons of the Canaanites, and then the end result, they served their gods. And then conclusion, God said the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They don't care about holiness. They don't care about biblical separation. Will you walk with God? Take care of God's word in your life. Take care of the sovereignty of God in your life. Take care of holiness in your life. That's how you make sure you walk with God. And if any one of these is not observed and obeyed, the other two will also disappear. All three must be obeyed continuously all the days of your life if you want to walk with God. Maintain a life of holiness. Know that God is all-powerful and He is with you. You trust Him. You fear Him. You honor Him. And then obey God's word at all costs. Firstly, study God's word. Put the study and meditation of God's word as paramount. If you have to choose between studying God's word and attending some dinner somewhere or to go somewhere in your work, forget about your work. Study God's word. It has to stop somewhere. And what must it stop? Stop doing what is right in your own eyes. Israel did this for 350 years. What did Israel become? Turn to 2 Kings chapter 17. What they did in the days of Judges, after the death of Joshua, read the conclusion of what happened to Israel. Now, these are the words of God before God destroyed Israel by the Assyrians. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 7. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods, and walked in the statutes of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel, and of the kings of Israel which they had made. So verse 8 will bring to remembrance what happened in the book of Judges. And the children of Israel did secretly. You think you can hide from God? those things that were not right after the Lord their God, and they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city. And they set them up images and groves in every high hill, and under every green tree. And there they burn incense in all the high places, as did the heathen, whom the Lord carried away from before them, and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger. So they let the sins of the Canaanites now become their own sins. Verse 11. For they serve idols, whereof the Lord had said unto them, Ye shall not do this thing. Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, Turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants the prophets. Same expectation in the period of Judges, same expectation before Israel was destroyed by the Assyrians, same expectation, obey God's word. That's all. Verse 14, notwithstanding, they would not hear. Instead, they hardened their necks, like to the neck of their fathers, that did not believe in the Lord their God. Stiff-necked they became. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers, and his testimonies which he testified against them. And they followed vanity and became vain, and went after the heathen that were round about them, concerning whom the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them. The period of Judges. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God, and they make them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove, and worship all the host of heaven, and serve Baal. Now watch verse 17, the fruit of idolatry. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire, and use divination and enchantments, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger. Do you know how they burned their own children alive? When they worship the god, say the god of Molech, it is a god that is like a huge hollow statue made of metal, and underneath it will be a flame that they will lit. And then the hands of this god will be like this. And then they'll take their babies alive, put it onto the hand of these gods. And the hand of these gods is already red hot, because the flame will turn this whole statue, metal statue, into red hot. And then when they put the baby on top of it, the parents are supposed to stand there and watch and put the baby there themselves. And the baby will cry and scream and yell because of the pain. And then the baby will roll down into the flames to be consumed. And all this while, the parents are not supposed to cry. The moment they cry, the whole sacrifice will not be counted, and they're going to do all over again. Another son will have to be offered. And they have to laugh, and they have to stand there rejoicing. That was what happened. And these are the sins of the Canaanites that God told Israel to wipe out. But Israel did not, and Israel now embraced and became like them. Please don't think that you are not doing the same. When you and I are pushing our children in the way of the world, the only difference is there's a slower, fiery death. And all you care about is their material, physical needs. All you care about is their education, primary school, secondary school. That's all you care about. You're pushing them directly in the same direction. The only difference is there's a slower death. And you are rejoicing, smiling all the time, thinking that they are well because they get straight A's in their studies, straight A's, and all they care about is tuition. Coming to church, secondary. Exam time, don't come for YF. Exam more important. Many of these things, our emphasis is all that of the world. That was their problem. They never forgot the name Jehovah, by the way. We talk about that. They continue to use the name the Lord Jehovah. But the problem was they did it in front of Baals. They did it with a carnal life. They continue to do all their offerings. Just like us, continue to come to church, continue to give our offerings, have all these facade of spirituality. But in reality, there was no heart, there was no soul. Because they worship idols. They continue to live the life of the world. And on the other hand, they have this facade of spirituality and religiosity. And then they still talk and using the lingo of Jesus Christ of the Lord. And all this while, God's judgment was very simple and straightforward. All Israel did what was right in their own eyes. That's it. And this is recorded for us as a warning that you and I may learn from the mistakes and not repeat them, because the price is very high. The price will be the souls of our children. Yes, you may go to heaven, fine, very good for you. But you dare to say, as long as my soul, I'm going to heaven, I don't care for anybody else. God did not save us to have that kind of callous, hardened heart. I don't care for anybody else. What kind of child of God who have been delivered and snatched out of the depths of hell would even think this way? Please don't ever. I have a place in heaven, I don't care for anybody else. You have sinned a very serious sin by this kind of hardened heart. If you are truly born again, God saved us. God allowed all of us to remain on earth. God brought us together in this church to mutually encourage one another in the things of God, so that if I stray away, you help me come back to the Lord. That's what we must do to help one another. And then if there are others who have strayed away, it is our duty to help them come back to the Lord. And to do that, we all must know God's word, because God's word will avail us the power that this world cannot give nor can understand. Because with God's word inside us, we begin to think like God. We become like God in our thinking, and therefore our lives will change automatically. That's the power of God's word. And that's what God wants of all of us. That's what God wanted of Israel. But Israel failed the Lord. Don't fail the Lord. Will you walk with God? Will you? All you and I need to do is to come back to the Lord in repentance and to obey God's word by first studying and meditating upon God's word. That is the first step. And don't stop. Don't stop. Make it a priority in your life. Come back to the Lord by ensuring that you study God's word. FEBC, any of the fellowship group, many of our contact groups, so many of them, for your blessings and benefit. Take advantage of it, so that your life will truly count for Jesus Christ in these last days. Don't let the voices of Joel Osteen be the voice that the world hears, because that kind of voice will lead and condemn people to hell. Let it be the voice of truth. Let it be your voice, the voice of an obedient child of God who can answer from the bottom of their heart. Will you walk with God? Yes, Lord. I want to walk with you because you are my Lord and my Savior. Let us pray. Our gracious, merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts this morning, O Lord, out of thy holy word, where each and every one of us may look deep into our soul, into our hearts, and into our lives, where we have sinned against thee, where we have not loved thee, and make the word of God an important part of our lives. May we stop sinning, stop our transgression, and return back unto the Lord, so that this life that you have redeemed with Christ's precious blood, and you have allowed us to remain on this earth, that it will truly be a life of holiness, that it will truly be a life where we can tell everyone, look at my life, for you will see Christ, my Lord and my Savior. Believe in him as your Lord and as your Savior, for he alone is able to save you from the bondage of sin, death, and hell. Forgive us, O Lord. Cleanse us and help us. Help everyone who name the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to truly live a life that is pleasing and acceptable before thee and before all men, before the Lord calls us home, that we can serve thee and live for thee no more on this earth. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory always. In Jesus' name. Amen.